Hey, we're back. It's Wrestling Observer Live. And we're live 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can always call in at 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. It's Jim Valley, the effing king of recovery. Still doing vicious. Really worked myself into a corner with that one. Anyway, I am back again because of the fans. Back today. And I'm also back next Saturday, but September, I'll be traveling again. So since I'm going to be gone a lot in September, I really want to pack a lot of entertainment into the show today.
Jim? Jim, are you there?
Oh, sorry. So yeah, right, the show. First of all, how does the voice sound? Right before I left, I went to the doctor and got, literally this is true, I got steroid injections into my vocal cords. So I don't know if that violates the Observer's wellness policy or not, but they're still healing. I think it does sound a little bit better, but I don't think we're quite at the end game yet as far as my voice is concerned. But we'll see how that plays out in the weeks to come. Anyway, some questions this week. If they're Billy Gunn's kids, why are Colton and Austin Gunn dressing like Shawn Michaels? Dave Meltzer reporting that Stardom is now the number two promotion in Japan. You're welcome. Fumi and I started talking about Stardom. Stardom prospers. Coincidence? I think not. Also, we have some exclusive wrestling news. Triple H has been on a tear signing talent and bringing back to the WWE. Triple H has just signed PN News and Psycho Sid. They'll be known as New and Vicious. Coming up on the show, why is everybody so angry? There's no reason to be angry. We'll talk about it coming up with your Uncle Jim here, Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. Apparently saying injections in my vocal cords is not allowed, so I apologize for that. Who knew? They can drop the S-bomb on Dynamite all they want, but I can't say injections in my vocal cords. Do you realize it's been 20 years since The Rock lost and made Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 02? It's incredible. And I'll tell you what, the 10 matches that Brock has had since then have been amazing. And the 5 of them against Roman Reigns, mwah, chef's kiss. Thank you. Thank you, Rock, for making Brock. I've really enjoyed all the 15 minutes that Brock has been on my television since then. The finals are set for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. Also, nothing happened on Dynamite, and there's an NWA 74 pay-per-view, and it's 2 nights. Who knew? Anyway, we'll talk about that and more coming up. The finals for the Women's Tag Team Title Tournament has been set. Really no surprise. Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah will face Dakota Kai and Io Sky this coming Monday on Raw to determine the new Women's Tag Team Champions. And really, it only makes sense for Dakota Kai and Io Sky to win and then go on to lose the 6-woman tag team match at Clash at the Castle. That would certainly make the most sense, so we'll see. Earlier in the show on SmackDown, Deville and Natalya won a 4-way last chance match to advance to the semifinals. Also on SmackDown, Ricochet. He defeated Happy Corbin, and Ricochet is inspirational again. Ricochet is the perfect name for that guy. Maybe Yo-Yo? Oh my gosh, it's like 1 month he's a star. Next month he's enhancement talent. He's a star. He's enhancement talent. He disappears, and now he's a star again. You know, it's amazing to think that at one point, Ricochet and Will Ospreay were having parallel careers. At least he beat Happy Corbin. I mean, and after all, everybody beats Happy Corbin. He's pretty much bulletproof. They had a great Drew McIntyre video package, covered the beginning of his career, his debut, his mother's passing, getting fired, and his return, kind of things they've talked about before. They kind of did a whole thing with Drew McIntyre and video packages all throughout the show. Then Karrion Kross and Scarlett did a taped interview mocking Drew McIntyre. He's going to debut in the ring next week. As I mentioned, Last Chance Fatal 4-Way. Sonya Deville and Natalya defeated Shotzi, Xia Li, Nikki Ash and Doudrop, and Dana Brooke, and Tamina. I didn't even recognize Dana Brooke. I hadn't seen her in so long. The Brawling Brutes and Gunther had a segment. Sheamus talked about taking on Gunther next Saturday, promised to defeat Gunther and leave Cardiff as the new Intercontinental Champion. Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser interrupted, walked to the ring. Gunther and Sheamus went face-to-face in the middle of the ring, and this was kind of cool. As the Brawling Brutes Ludwig Kaiser, went face-to-face. They started brawling, and the whole time, Sheamus and Gunther just stared at each other. It was a great idea. Loved that. 5 stars. Roman Reigns, The Usos, and Sami Zayn had a great backstage segment. Sami Zayn approached Roman Reigns' locker room. The Usos didn't want to let Sami in, but Roman Reigns called Sami in. Reigns needs Sami to keep McIntyre occupied, so he takes his eye off Clash at the Castle. Zayn said it was a piece of cake, promised to get in McIntyre's head. Zayn was hoping they could do it together as a team, but Reigns convinced Zayn to do it on his own. Jimmy and Zayn had a special handshake. Jay wouldn't shake Zayn's hand, kicked him out. It was very, very entertaining stuff. WWE Tag Team Championship, we mentioned. Raquel Rodriguez defeated Natalya and Sonya Deville. They did a confrontation between the Maximum Male Models and Hit Row to set up a tag team match next week. The male models' photo shoot was interrupted by music coming from Hit Row's tour bus. Maxine Dupree says she's got an idea. She goes and gets Los Lotharios, whose solution is to spray paint the side of the bus. And of course, Los Lotharios' solution is going to be spray paint because, you know, Mexicans. Anyway, they come back. They didn't show the spray paint. They showed this thin blue line of writing. It looked like magic marker. It looked like a dry erase board. Like this thin blue writing that said, Hit Row sucks. It looked terrible. I don't understand. It didn't even look like spray paint. You know it's bad when Hulk Hogan does better spray painting. It's been 25 years since the heyday of the NWO. Wrestling has gotten better, but spray painting in wrestling, for some reason, has gotten worse. I mean, come on. Couldn't they bring in, like, an artist to come in and spray paint the bus properly? I mean, if they did it well enough, fans would pay to get pictures of it at WWE Access. But instead, was it done in post? It almost looked like it could have been like a CGI thing. It looked so bad and so fake. But then it turns out that it wasn't Hit Row's bus at all. It was the Street Profits bus. So, obviously, Street Profits involved coming up in the tag team match in the Maximum Male Bottles and Hit Row. But it was, I don't know, it's kind of a swing and a miss with that one, I thought. The New Day came out. Woods was in a wheelchair, selling the beating from last week. And suddenly, the Viking Raiders interrupted, mocked the New Day. They jumped in, and the New Day were backing off. They rolled into a corner. They said, "Leave us alone." And then, when the Viking Raiders turned their back, Woods stood up, revealing that he wasn't hurt. And they had kendo sticks. And they beat down the Viking Raiders until they ran off. Drew McIntyre, no surprise, defeated Sami Zayn. After the match, Roman Reigns ran out, attacked McIntyre. McIntyre recovered, but the Usos jumped back in the ring. McIntyre fought back again. Reigns took him out with a spear. The Usos destroyed McIntyre with a chair, tossed him back into the ring after hitting him with a barricade at ringside. And then they hit him with the stairs, threw him back in the ring, and Reigns sat on a chair over McIntyre and posed with all the belts to end what I thought was a pretty good SmackDown. Now, because they're going to Cardiff, they taped SmackDown for next week. So very quickly, here are the spoilers. So just turn off or pause. It'll just take a second. No surprise, Karrion Kross defeated Drew Gulak. Ronda Rousey came out, called out Adam Pearce regarding her suspension. Said that her suspension has been lifted, she paid her fines, and that her arrest was unwarranted, and thus was reinstated. Pearce, however, said he would have fired Rousey, it was up to him, calling Rousey the single biggest B-word he's ever met. Rousey locked Pearce in an arm. Hit Row defeated the Maximum Male Models. After the match, Los Lotharios helped the models beat down Hit Row. Happy Corbin ran out Detroit. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Happy Corbin. Butch defeated Ludwig Kaiser. And Ludwig, Butch was dressed in his Pete Dunne gear. Viking Raiders defeated the New Day. Usos and Sami Zayn had a celebration for Roman Reigns, ruined by Drew McIntyre. We'll talk about Rampage, NWA pay-per-view stardom, and more coming up. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. AW Rampage. Dark Order defeated the House of Black to advance in the Trios title tournament. Wardlow defeated Ryan Nemeth. Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Ashton Day. AAA Mixed Tag Team Champions Sammy Guevara and Tay Mello defeated Ortiz and Ruby Soho. Claudio Castagnoli defeated Dustin Rhodes to retain the ROH World Championship. Got spoilers from Night 1 of Impact Wrestling's Lone Star Stampede TV tapings Friday and Saturday. So Friday's tapings be for shows airing on Thursday, September 1st, and Thursday, September 8th. Motor City Machine Guns defeated Aussie Open. Kind of surprised by that. OKG defeated the Good Brothers to win the tag team titles. That's Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. Speedball Mike Bailey defeated Kenny King to retain the title after the match was restarted after King won due to Maria's interference. Mascara Dorada defeated Alex Zane. Masha Slamovich defeated Deonna Purrazzo to earn a Nia Kotz title shot. Decay defeated Moose and Steve Macklin. Mickey James defeated Hyann. Digital Media Champion Brian Myers defeated Bhupinder Jujhar by DQ. Chelsea Green defeated Taya Valkyrie. Eddie Edwards defeated Heath. Afterwards, Edwards called out Impact World Champion Josh Alexander, tried to recruit him into Honor No More. A brawl broke out, which led to an 8-man tag team match. Heath, Rich Swann, Sami Callihan, and Josh Alexander defeated OGK, which is Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, Kenny King, and Eddie Edwards. You know, poor Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey craps out 5-star matches in his sleep. And he should probably talk to his doctor about that. But seriously, in another era, this guy would have a big, fat, six-figure contract. I mean, I'm sure he's doing okay. But, I mean, dude clearly has to hustle to make a living. I mean, remember Blitzkrieg, the masked wrestler from when WCW was on its downslide? Blitzkrieg had, like, one amazing match on pay-per-view, and people talked about him for years. How many five-star matches has Mike Bailey had, and the dude cannot get arrested? There is so much wrestling content. We as fans are so spoiled. I mean, Rey Mysterio was tearing it up in Mexico, had a few matches in ECW, then got on WCW and he was made. I feel kind of bad, honestly, for Mike Bailey. The guy is one of the best wrestlers, and it's like, dude just cannot catch a break. It's just such a different landscape. And having great matches is just no longer enough. But we'll get into that in just a second. My God, there's a lot of wrestling content. The NWA's got NWA 74. It's two nights. It's tonight and tomorrow for reasons. Look, no disrespect to anybody involved. By all means, please, get it on pay-per-view. I mean, the NWA, Billy Corgan's NWA. You want to talk about something that really was a victim of COVID? That show, NWA Power, was very entertaining on YouTube. It was live. It had a lot of interviews, a lot of good talkers, people really showing their charisma on front of the camera without a lot of benefit of presentation. I mean, the WWE machine is really gets behind someone and it can make or break someone, but you're out there on the NWA and by and large, you're freaking naked to the world. You either have it or you don't. There's no pretty lights. There's no graphic to make you look amazing. There's no makeup artists. It's just there. And really, COVID really did a number on the NWA. And in that sense, they really do have my sympathy of all the momentum that they lost. And they've tried to do some cool things, but getting traction, much like Mike Bailey, is really hard. Night one. NWA Women's Championship match, Camille versus Taya Valkyrie. NWA World Tag Team Championship, the Commonwealth Connection of Doug Williams and Davey Boy Smith versus La Rebellion, Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf. That should be great. NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship, Homicide versus Kerry Morton. NWA National Heavyweight Champion, Jax Dane versus Scion. Tables match, Bully Ray versus Mike Knox. The Burke Invitational, a women's gauntlet match to win a title shot. Samantha Starr, Angelina Love, Kylan King, Tootie Lynn, Misa Kate, Max the Impaler, Maddie Rinkowski, Genocide, Natalia Markova, and Taryn Tyrell. Matt Cardona's return match against a hand-picked opponent. EC3 versus Mims. Chris Adonis versus Otison. Beelzebub's Bedlam match. Miserably Faithful versus Ill-Begotten. Nick Aldis open forum. The pre-show, The Pope versus Rodney Mack. Luke Hawks versus VSK. The Country Gentleman versus Gold Rush. I mean, you look at so many people who had their shots and something went sideways and they're in the NWA. A lot of things wasn't even their fault. That's just how talented and competitive things have been for the last 20 years in professional wrestling, in the corporate world of professional wrestling. Night two. NWA Championship match. Trevor Murdoch versus Tyrus. NWA Women's World Champion, the Burke Invitational winner, will challenge for the title. NWA Women's Tag Team Championship, Pretty Empowered versus the Hex in a street fight. NWA United States Championship, a Tag Team Battle Royal to crown the winner, including Ill-Begotten, The Now, Miserably Faithful, Gold Rush, Rough and Ready, The Fixers, Hawks and Airy, let's see, Team Ambition, The Country Gentlemen, The Spectaculars, and two more teams. MLW Openweight Championship, Davey Edwards versus Thrill Billy Silas, Nick Aldis versus Flip Gordon, Tom Latimer versus Judas, Colby Carino versus Caprice Coleman, Mercurio versus Magic Jake Dumas, and the pre-show, Angelina Love versus Taryn Tyrell. So, best of luck to everybody in the NWA. I mean, that is just how competitive it is. And, you know, my God, there is so much wrestling talent. And that's really kind of part of the problem. I don't want to sound like the guy saying, get off my lawn, but things that are rare have value. When there's a lot of money, there's inflation. When there's not much money, money has more value. Rare cars, rare jewels, rare action figures. To all you wrestling nerds. But anyway, there's so much wrestling content that it's just not rare anymore. It's disposable. It's skippable. I remember when I used to look forward to the 1 hour of Raw or the 2 hours of Saturday 6:05. And now there's so much wrestling, I'm just like, it's disposable. And that's too bad, because wrestling used to be really special. And now in today's content world, it's just more things to fill time. When wrestlers would be on TV shows, it was a big deal. And now it's not. And in a way, that's good. Because wrestling has, for lack of a better term, earned a level of respect and acceptability. But on the other hand, there's so much wrestling content that you could miss things, and you know that, one, they're going to recap the next show. And two, it's just going to move on to the next thing. Wrestling has become disposable. I mean, this past week on Dynamite, they show a world championship match. And not only that, the world title was decided by a pinfall. A pinfall. That would never happen in my day. And in my day, we would have been so happy to see that. But instead, today, everybody is angry about it because we are so spoiled. We had an incredible 5-star trios match on Dynamite. You think people would be thrilled? Back in my day, we never got 5-star matches. You were lucky if George South or Sam Houston put up a fight against Ric Flair. You were lucky if the Italian Stallion got one punch in. 5-star competitive matches. Back in my day, we would have killed for Dustin Rhodes versus Claudio Castagnoli. We would have loved to see the TV title defended against a real champion, a real potential contender. We're so spoiled today with all of the wrestling content. And everybody is so angry these days. Can you explain why? Why is everybody so angry? We need to figure this out. Moxley is angry. Thunder Rosa is angry. Eddie Kingston is angry. The fans are angry. Can you tell me, are you angry? Let's figure this out. 1-800-878 play. 1-800-878-7529. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. Why is everybody so pissed off? Eddie Kingston is mad. He's got his full-time contract making money with AEW. Why is he mad? After years of toiling, he's got some money and some stability. CM Punk, he's the new world champion. Not interim anymore. Oh, wait, I meant Jon Moxley. He's the champion. He's mad. CM Punk, he's mad. Thunder Rosa's mad. Everybody's so mad right now. And why is everybody so mad? Why is everybody, I don't know. Look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Wrestling is a job. Do you like everybody you work with? If you work hard and somebody gets promoted or gets credit for your work, are you happy? Somebody sucks up to the boss and gets promoted while you're toiling away, are you happy? Somebody shows a little cleavage and gets promoted, are you happy? It's a job. It's the way it is. It's a workplace. Not everybody talks. Not everybody hangs out. Not everybody likes each other or relates to each other. Some people are cordial. Some people are friends. Some people become friends. Some people are friends with benefits. Some people swim in the company pool. It's a workplace. You know, Tony Khan strikes me as a very nice man. I know some people try to make hay out of him, like hugging people and being passionate, but that just seems fairly innocuous and innocent, and just him being happy with his company and happy for his talent in the moment. I have no problem. But I guess Tony Khan had a meeting this past week or so, and he made it clear he was not going to be a pushover for demands by the talent. And that's easy to think. Sometimes maybe you have a boss who seems very nice, and you try to test the limits. How far can you get? What can I get away with? Where are my parameters? What don't they really like? Where can I push the boundaries? According to The Observer, there have been a lot of instances where talent has made demands on what they regard, what they want in regards to pay-per-views. And in some cases, Khan has gone with that feeling, with the proposed ideas are better than his. And sometimes he hasn't. You know, again, I think Tony Khan is a nice man. I think there are people that think that they can just walk over him. And look, there's something about wrestlers. Not all wrestlers. Lance Storm, Rocky Romero, Christopher Daniels, to name a few. Very nice guys. And there are more. But wrestling is an outlaw business. They are still some outlaws in the wrestling business. And wrestlers have ruined many promotions by their demands, by trying to bleed money marks, by doing a lot of things. Wrestlers look for the short term and the quick payoff, history says. Not just WCW. There have been many other promotions that have fallen by the wayside, oftentimes due to actions by the wrestlers. And also the promoters. They should have had a tighter leash on things. This is not an uncommon thing. So I'm happy that Tony Khan is setting up some systems and some experienced people like Sanjay Dutt and Tony Schiavone to put things in place. And I get it. People like controversy. People think there's this misconception. People think that because it's wrestling and that the matches are predetermined, that people just stand around and laugh backstage. Okay, I'm losing today. Ha ha ha. You're gonna beat me. Ha ha ha. This is all a big game. But it's not that way. People, just like an actual job, lobby bosses, talk behind people's backs. Oh my gosh. I can't count how many times I've been stabbed in the back or misrepresented by people. Oh my God. I don't do that to people. I just don't. I don't want it done to me, but it's going to happen anyway. But it's not my style. I'd rather have my work speak for itself. It never works, but that's what I do. I was wrong. Should have done it the backstabby way, but that's what I did. Anyway, I think that Tony Khan is now having to set limits with much of his talent. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see that. And we're probably going to see in the future where he's going to let some people go. And I'm willing to bet that some of the people, maybe one or two, maybe more, are going to be people also that WWE's let go. And suddenly people are going to go, you know, maybe Vince wasn't wrong on that person. Or maybe Vince wasn't wrong on that person. You know, you look at that NWA pay-per-view. A lot of people were with Vince, and now they're not. Are they drawing? Was Vince right to let them go? I don't know, you tell me. But the point is we're now at a natural growing stage, and this should be expected. So, lighten up, Buttercup. I think Tony Khan and I think AEW are going to be just fine. Hey, there's something I want to talk about that's been bugging me since I was on vacation. There's this thing that's been happening. Like Ciampa wearing Harley Race's jacket. He's wearing his trainer's jacket in an important match, and he loses. After 30 years, we see the return of Lionheart, Chris Jericho, and he loses. We've got videos of Drew McIntyre's inspirational comeback for Clash of the Castle, and I'm willing to bet Drew McIntyre loses. There's this trend right now where you put these historical pieces together, these historical pieces of iconography in throwaway matches in a cynical way to get fans to care about the matches. It's cheap heat. Call me cynical, but I will be very, very surprised if Drew McIntyre walks out of Cardiff with the undisputed WWE Championship. I think he should. He absolutely should. But WWE is already planting seeds, I think, for Karrion Kross getting involved. There's going to be near 90,000 people paying a lot of money. And unless The Rock is not coming in for WrestleMania in Hollywood, I cannot imagine WWE, even Papa Triple H, who's answering all of our wrestling prayers, I cannot imagine he's going to have Drew McIntyre walk out of Cardiff as the real, actual, undisputed WWE champion. And in my mind, that's crap. This whole thing reeks of SummerSlam. 1993. The Lex Express. The body slam on the Intrepid on the 4th of July. The big bus going across the country. The red, white, and blue. The SummerSlam superstars and stripes forever. Lex Luger hits Yokozuna with the vaunted elbow, with the loaded forearm. Yokozuna tumbles out of the ring, gets counted out. The music trumpets, John Philip Sousa march plays. The confetti falls down out of the sky. The Steiner brothers hoist Lex Luger up in the air. And Lex Luger was not the WWE champion. And he never would be. It basically killed him dead in the water. And I think that's what's going to happen with Drew McIntyre. I will be happy for Drew if he wins the WWE Championship. I would love, love, love to be wrong. Not just for Drew McIntyre, but for the British fans that get so much lip service and so little actual service. WWE screwed them with Davey Boy Smith and Shawn Michaels. WWE didn't give them a real SummerSlam. On the 30th anniversary of British Bulldog beating Davey Boy Smith for the title, the Intercontinental Championship, one of the greatest matches in WWE history. For years, the shoot largest crowd in WWE history. But they could never say that because they would take away from the vaunted Silverdome fake record. And now, they're going to sell out Cardiff because those fans are starving and they're going to give them a little cracker. Here's a little cracker. They're going to do some finish that's going to be satisfying, sort of like the SummerSlam thing, where they pin him with a tractor, and people are going to go, that was cool, but they're still going to screw you. And it's just, I just think it's really cynical. By the way, I know that Rock is part of the family. And he should beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and finally vanquish him. And that's fine. That's great. But you know what? If Roman Reigns, or if I should say Rock, couldn't do the match, you know what I would do? You know who I'd pick? I wish Big E was healthy. I'd pick Big E. But I guess in this case, I'd pick Kofi Kingston. And I'd pick The New Day. Because then you'd have family versus family. Because like it or not, the New Day stands for friends and family in WWE. That's what I'd do. Anyway, it's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. Hey, want to mention real quick, someone in the chat asked about my thoughts on NXT and the Lights Out match. And let me say, I really like Tiffany Stratton. I like Wendy Chu as well. I thought the Lego spot was funny. I didn't mind the light gimmick. I thought the light gimmick was interesting. So, you've got a heel champion, so it only makes sense that Wendy Chu is winning right now. But I mean, I think Tiffany Stratton is amazing. So I think that she'll be fine. I mean, I really like her a lot. I think that she pulls off the the blonde gimmick really well. And Wendy Chu is adorable and entertaining. And so, yeah, I think it's great. So I'm a big, big fan. I did want to mention, real quick, I forgot to put it in my notes, but Stardom did the drawing for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship Women's Championship title match. No surprise, it's going to be Stars, the Oedo Corps, Donna Del Mundo, and who else is going to, the other group. They're all going to pick one representative to go forward in the tournament for the IWGP Championship. They drew straws, and it was very entertaining. The way they do things. Stardom is really on a roll right now. Very happy about that. All right, oh, by the way, don't forget, we can watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at Jim Valley. Just search for that. Like and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. I'll talk to you next week. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. I'll be back, as always, because of the fans.